I just like turning your microphone on before you're aware.
Sure. Hey, great show today. Great morning show.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
You had that author on?
Yeah, Jesse Jarno.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part?
I guess I was surprised to hear you never had a bad trip.
Yeah, a lot of people were.
Yeah,
wow, that I never had a good trip.
Oh, I'm sorry, you never had a good trip. Yeah, you never had a good trip.
You weren't really listening, were you? You slipped up.
I was kind of tripping.
Yeah.
Inspired by your guest.
Yeah, morning glory seeds or something?
Yeah. Let me tell you something about LSD. LSD is only as good as the material you have to work with.
Right, garbage in, garbage out.
Garbage in, garbage out. If you're a creative, open soul, then you're going to have a great trip.
Huh.
If you're kind of uptight and paranoid, if you're a dark and twisted soul, then you're never going to have a good trip.
So you're saying I never had a good trip because I'm a bad person. Dark and twisted.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying?
I don't know.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you didn't really listen to my show.
No.
No.
I would have listened to your show.
But?
I didn't care enough to tune in.
Well, okay. At least you have a good excuse.
Exactly. A lot of people don't have any excuse at all.
Yeah. Well, great to have you back.
Great to be here, buddy. Great to be here in the studio. You know, my one memory of last week is when I wasn't there, you were soaring like a bird. You had the best show ever. You were interacting with listeners. You were doing soliloquies and monologues.
I didn't even notice.
You were riffing left and right.
Yeah. Why is that?
One anecdote after another. I don't know. I think I inhibit you or something.
Well, there were a couple of times.
I think I inhibit you somehow. I think I make it hard for you to get any traction is my theory.
I think
that's just something that, you know, we should consider as a theory.
Yeah, I think
okay, here we go.
Yeah, I think you're
okay,
on.
Here we go. We're moving.
Yeah, no, you're
we're
on
the air.
You're on to something.
Yeah. I guess it's somehow harder for you to get a rhythm going when I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
In the studio.
Yeah, because when you're on Skype, you're in the Massmertorium. You got plenty of other distractions.
Multitasking.
Yeah. So I understand the reason why you didn't come last week was you had a last-minute offer.
No, there was some kind of, wait, I can't remember. There was something that,
Hasbro called?
No, it was something that didn't pan out.
Oh, it didn't?
I remember now.
Oh.
Like everything else. Damn Hope. Don't you get so mad at Hope? Isn't Hope the worst?
Yes, it is.
Hope is so devious. It's diabolical.
I know.
It gets you every time, too, doesn't it?
Yep, pulling the chair out from under you every time you try to sit
down. Pulling the football away. Gosh, Hope. I just hate it. I'd rather just be filled with despair than filled with hope.
No, you wouldn't. Oh, come on. Hey, Erwin, you didn't set up our playlist page, did you?
Yep.
Oh, you did? Oh, man.
It just says TV.
What a guy.
He's the greatest.
What a guy. Okay.
Erwin's the greatest.
He is. So what are we doing tonight, Andy? You explain the concept. Okay, what do you think of the Brexit?
Is that vote today?
Are you... Oh, man, you knew what it was.
Is that vote today?
No, I don't think so. I'm so impressed you knew what it was.
I'll tell you what I think of it, but first you tell me what the cool kids think of it. And then I'll tell you what my opinion is. I'm against it.
Cool kids are...
Let me tell you where I am on
pro-Brexit.
Pro-Brexit.
So you're pro-Brexit.
They want out.
Right.
They want out. They don't want to be tied to that EU machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. They want to fly free.
Yep.
And keep them foreigners out, too.
Yeah.
It's a win-win-win-win-win.
Yeah. So you're pro-Brexit.
If you're not lying about what the cool kids are for, then that's what I'm
No,
for.
No, absolutely. The cool people are pro-Brexit.
That's it, then.
No question about it. Because they're tired.
I've got to get me one of them bumper stickers.
Yeah, they're tired.
We are tired of the man taxing our periods. Or that's a different issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the tampon tax.
I got you. Yeah.
But you should make a Brexit bumper sticker that says that.
Is that vote today?
No, I don't
think
so.
When is that vote?
It's not today. It's just that a journalist asked Donald Trump what his opinion on the Brexit was.
And what was Donald Trump's response?
Brexit? Huh?
Really?
Yeah.
He's the greatest. He's the greatest, but that won't hurt him either.
Of course not. No.
He's made of Teflon. He's like you a little bit. Nothing could hurt you.
How am I like Donald Trump?
I spent 25 years exposing your flaws, peeling away the layer after layer of hypocrisy and self-centeredness, and still here you are in control of the station, station manager. There's nothing I can say to bring you down.
That's true. That's true.
Every other word out of your mouth is a lie. Nobody cares. What kind of politician would you prefer? Okay, so Donald, So when Hillary lies, it's very calculated. It's clearly focus grouped, right?
Right.
She's very cautious. But it's just lies. Just lies, right? Donald Trump, and she cares. She wants you to believe her. They've worked hard. Every one of these lies, they worked hard to make you believe her, right? But Donald Trump, he just doesn't care. He'll just say that wasn't my voice on the tape.
John Miller
tape. He'll just say that wasn't me. Doesn't sound like me. No, but he knows he's lying. You know he's lying. You know he's lying.
Right.
He doesn't care.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. It is refreshing. Is that your point?
I don't know. No. I don't know what's worse. Or those focus group, very careful, parsed words kind of lying that the Clintons do. Oh, I don't know what's worse.
I hate them both, but I'd vote for Hillary 1,000 times over Donald Trump.
You don't have to vote for anyone, buddy.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
You're going to vote Libertarian this year?
I'm going to write in Irwin.
The Libertarian guy took off his clothes.
He did?
Did you hear about that? Yeah, they had the Libertarian Convention, and one of the presidential candidates, he grew up in my house, apparently.
He's not ashamed of his body?
Took his clothes off.
Although he had every reason to be.
Mink says that the cool kids are not pro-Brexit. It's the great, unwashed, uneducated scummers who are pro-Brexit. So I was wrong. I guess you're a scummer, Andy.
I wait to see how the cool kids vote.
You being pro-Brexit and all that. So we're looking for work lingo, industry lingo.
Oh, for the love of God, we're doing this?
What else are we doing? Subculture lingo? Do you have lingo? You must have lingo from the movie industry.
Yeah. Yeah. Like here, I'll give you some lingo. See if you can tell what it is.
Okay.
Everyone, every industry has their own little, right?
Yeah. So then I'll give you some radio broadcast lingo.
Okay. Hey, let's make this a contest. Why don't we have people call? Yeah, use some lingo from their specific profession. Right?
Right.
But keep it vague enough so you can't tell from the context.
Yeah, and preferably give us a phrase of...
Yeah, I'll give you one from the movie business, okay? Okay. The executive peed on my script. That studio executive peed on my script.
He passed on it.
Nope.
He peed on it.
Yep.
He urinated on it.
Do you think that's what he peed on the script means?
No.
He urinated on it?
No. He peed on your script. Who was it who peed on your script?
The studio executive.
The studio executive peed on your script. He gave it to somebody else.
No.
I give up. What's it mean?
When someone pees on your script, it means they made changes in your script for the sake of making changes, just so they could leave their mark on the project. Like a dog peeing on a tree.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
He put his mark on the project.
Wow. Okay. Perfect example. So that's what we're looking for here at 201-209-9368. We want a phrase from your workplace or your industry or your particular subculture.
And Ken and I will try to discern what it might mean. Now, right. You give me one from radio.
Okay. You'll never guess this one because it's based on an acronym.
Go ahead. I'm scared.
The VizWar is off the charts. Somebody's going to have to climb the tower.
Well, a tower is a large, tall structure.
Right. No, VizWar.
Chart. Off the charts.
No, the VizWar is off the charts.
Wait, so which word do I have to guess?
VizWar.
Charts. I could do charts?
No, VizWar.
VizWar. That's the hardest word in that sentence.
Yeah.
I was hoping charts would be the word.
VSWR, it's spelled.
VSWR.
Yeah, the VizWar is off the charts, dude. Somebody's going to have to climb the tower.
Well, that dude is the clue I needed.
Yeah.
Okay. It has to do with drugs.
No.
No, it's obviously some kind of strength, something. There's some kind of problem with the signal. It's distortion.
Yeah.
It's something. It's too strong. What's too strong?
The voltage is bouncing back into the transmitter.
Oh, no one cares.
Yeah. Voltage standing wave ratio.
Oh, shut up. That's so dumb. It's not fun or interesting.
Okay.
Fine.
That's all I got. All I got is technical lingo. People are going to call with technical lingo, so don't sabotage this by...
Fine. 201-209-9368.
Peeing all over my lingo.
Give you another example from the TV and movie business.
Yeah.
It's the martini shot.
Use it in a sentence.
You better start putting that equipment away. We're on the martini shot.
Ah, God, the martini shot. The last shot. The last chance. Last chance to shoot the scene.
Well, it doesn't matter.
No, it does matter. It does matter because it's only 15 minutes after 6. We have 45 minutes to go. It matters.
You want me on Skype. You want me back home. No, it's exactly right. It's the last shot of the day.
Yeah, because it's the martini shot. Of course it's the last shot of the day. All right, let's take a
look. Okay,
Nick is busy screening somebody.
He's screening
so let's
like the wind.
Right to line 2. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I've got some lingo for you.
Okay, hold on. Wait, hold on. We're going to make this fair. This is going to be a real contest. Andy and Ken, what's the score so far?
0-0, because this is our first caller. What's your name, caller?
Marshall Stacks.
Hey, Marshall.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going very well.
Long time. How are you? Long time.
Why don't you two get a room? You love each other so much.
Well, we did.
Yeah. You two make me sick.
You ready for my lingo?
Yes.
Okay, this is a phrase that might be dropped in casual conversation.
And what? In what industry?
Business. You should fork my repo.
Hold on.
Oh, I know what that means.
Wait, what industry is that? Give me a hint.
Should I give him a hint?
Yeah, give
Wait,
him a hint.
Wait, do you know the answer?
I know the answer.
You should fork my repo?
Yeah, you should fork my repo.
You should fork my repo right away. It's
a computer term.
Software development business.
Yeah, software computer.
Oh, for the love of God. You should fork my repo. It's a okay, so Ken knows it.
I know it.
Hold on. Fork my repo. Do you ever say fork anything else, or is it always fork and repo together?
Yeah, you could fork other things. But
generally a repo.
Yeah.
Is fork related to put a fork in it? You're done?
No.
Nope.
Is repo an acronym for something? REPO?
No, it's short.
It's an abbreviation.
It's an abbreviation for something.
Okay. We're going to give up. What, Marshall, what does that mean? Fork my repo.
Well, you want me, I know. So if I get.
I know that Ken knows, so let's hear Ken.
Wait a minute. If that's how easy it is, then I'll say I know too.
No, I know.
Yeah, but I know
Ken
too.
But now I'm
going to. Now we both know.
No, you don't.
Now we both know. So we both get
Go
a
ahead.
Point.
Tell me what
now
it is.
No, you tell me what it is. I don't think you know.
I do know.
I don't believe you do. I'm taking a point.
It's a repository.
Repository.
It's a GitHub repository of software code. And when you fork
it. Exactly. When you fork it, though,
you're making your own
what
version.
What you're doing is making a version, a unique version.
A unique version of the code.
Of the code. Yeah.
Which
fork my repo. Which you then modify for,
and later
you.
Or not.
Exactly.
I knew you knew that.
Yeah. Fork my repo. Okay. 1-1.
No, it's 1-0.
We both knew that.
I got that point. I knew
think,
fork.
I think Ken got the.
Fine.
Got the,
thank you, Marshall.
Fine.
My pleasure.
Thanks
my
for
pleasure.
Playing.
I really believe that was his pleasure.
That's how
I
you
really
play.
Believe Marshall had a great time on that call.
I think he did. That's how you play the game. That's
209-9368. What's this game called?
I don't know. Fork the Repo.
That's the name of the game?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
We just talked about what
forking.
Yeah,
but I wasn't listening.
It means you create a, new, create a new, unique new. Version of software code from the code that's available in the repository.
I think that's what my son does for a living.
Yeah, Josh forks repos probably.
No one forks repos better.
No, Josh is the best, man. He really is. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Jake from Brooklyn.
Hey, Jake.
Hey, Jake. You love the show. Hey, Jake, you love the show.
You just sounded like mumbling to me.
Oh, you love the show, sir.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, it means the world to us. What industry do you work in?
I work in tech and IT, and this is a very IT-related phrase.
Oh, I'm shocked. We have another IT phrase. Go ahead. What is it? But don't tell us what it means.
I'm not going to tell you what it means, but it's basically if you're reporting back to another tech on the type of error, this is something you might say.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 1D 10T error.
A 1D 10 what? T?
T.
Like T
a
1D
is in dog and 10T is in Tom error.
1D 10T.
Yeah.
A 1D.
Something you say reporting back from one tech to another. After
yeah.
Now, is that a serious out. Error, 1D 10T?
Oh, I don't know if it's that serious.
It could be serious. It sounds like it could be pretty serious.
It could be.
It sounds
I mean,
like
10,
it could be problematic.
You know, 1 is one extreme and 10 is the other extreme. So
right.
Extreme
I mean, it's not, like it's not like you're saying 1D 5T.
No.
1D
10T.
It's twice as bad as 1D 5T.
It means that it runs the gamut. It runs the entire spectrum. It affects everything.
That's what you're going to go with?
That's what I'm going to go with.
That's wrong.
Okay. Go ahead, Andy. You take your guess.
Wait, first I have to muster up a little caring.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Stop caring about anything for like 10 seconds.
Hold on. I can do this. I can care about this. 1D, 10T. Well, D must stand for something.
Dog.
Dog. And then T must stand for something. Tiger.
Tom.
Tiger.
Tom. Bob.
Tiger.
Let's say tiger.
Okay.
So this is a 10-tiger problem.
Yeah.
That's 10 tiger?
Yeah, well, like a 10 tigers. Like, you know how hard it is to corral one tiger. So if you have a bad tech problem, if it's a real headache, you call it a 10-tiger problem.
You went from one dog to 10 tigers?
Well, one dog is an easy problem. 10 tigers, yeah.
Not if it's a rabid, vicious dog.
Yeah, well, that's why it's a bad problem. We don't know.
Okay, well,
we
I hate to say this, Andy, but
yeah.
You're wrong.
Okay.
Okay, Jake, okay. What's the right answer?
The right answer is I spelled it out, and if you write it on a piece of paper, 1D 10T, and then look at the letters.
Oh, idiot.
Spell out.
Oh, it's an idiot. Oh, I love it.
It spells out idiot.
Oh, I love that.
So, like, you go to fix somebody's computer, and they say it's not working, come back, and a stupid problem. You go, it's a 1D 10T problem.
You mean if the solution to the problem is he just didn't reboot it or plug it in or something?
Yeah, it's something really silly or simple.
Yeah, it's the way one tech says to another tech, this guy's an idiot.
Wow.
1D 10T.
They say it in front of some people, and they don't even get it.
Well,
like
they will now.
Tuesday, you know?
They will now. We have like 20 people listening, and so the word is out.
The word is out now.
And of those 20 people listening,
I'm going to watch myself.
How many listeners? How many of our 20 listeners have friends that they could tell? Ken,
three.
Yeah. So that's 23 people. Now, no.
Oh wait, two of them had a falling out.
Okay, so really that's 21 people.
21
people.
I'll go with those odds.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Jake.
Thank you, Jake.
Thank you, too.
Yeah.
Bye.
Phone number here is 201-209-9368.
Whoever came up with
We're playing Fork the Repo.
Whoever had this idea for a show, 1D10T.
That would be me.
Was this your idea?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was me.
That's okay.
Wait, I think it was me.
No, remember we were talking last night and... I talked about the fact that we got into this discussion on my morning show a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, well, actually, I do remember you were inspired by an episode of Silicon Valley.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Silicon Valley. Yeah, the great tab versus space.
Well, I'm going to binge watch it, so don't.
Yeah. I won't give anything away. So the game is called Fork That Repo, and we're looking for any kind of lingo or slang from your workplace or your industry, if you're a waiter, a waitress, cab driver, coder.
You know what? Can I tell you something?
Sanitation engineer.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
This could be a good game.
I know.
This could be like a real game.
I know.
Like a card game.
Yeah. You're telling me.
No, you'd put like
it's 400. It's called Shop Talk. That's the name of the game, Shop Talk.
Hold on. Wait, Shop Talk. Wait, yeah. Why isn't this a real game?
I don't know. Because like
200 cards, they'd each have a slang phrase on it.
Yeah,
and then everybody at the table has to guess or make something up. Wait, that's not a bad game.
Yeah,
Shop Talk.
I remember from.
Do I have to wait for you to die before I take full credit?
No,
for this?
No, go ahead, take it. Take it and run, my friend.
This is not terrible.
Yeah.
I've had worse ideas for games.
I just want 20 points. Go ahead and take it. Sell it to Goliath or Hasbro.
Shop Talk.
Yeah, Shop Talk. We're playing Shop Talk. Phone number is 201-209-9368. We're looking for slang from your workplace, your industry, your
maybe next year we'll be. Maybe next year we'll be watching my Kickstarter campaign for Shop Talk.
Maybe we will.
Inching up.
You have another
to that break even area.
You have another Kickstarter coming up, right?
I'm going to try it again.
Yeah, good for you. For the Unshut-Upables, right?
That's one. Uh-huh. You know, although today I was talking to some toy company veterans,
yeah,
who were advising me against a Kickstarter for that particular project.
Oh, really? Because it's such a great idea.
Well, it's a little more complicated than a card game. I mean, there are some electronics involved.
Right.
And so to build that yourself is apparently a Megillah. But Shop Talk would be easy to do.
A Megillah?
Megillah means a pain in the neck, a big production.
That's Yiddish.
Yeah. Wait, that's another game.
Yeah. As opposed to a mulligan. When you said Megillah, I thought you...
A mulligan is... A do-over. That's Irish.
It's a do-over, yeah.
Yeah, do-over.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, am I already on the air?
Yeah, you're already on the air. Here we are.
Hi, guys.
Hi, who's this?
This is Lisa from Brooklyn. I won last week.
Oh, congratulations, Lisa.
I didn't get the email, too, so I could send for my magnet.
Oh, yeah. Did you get... You were supposed to send Lisa the email, Andy.
Just remind me.
No, I mean, she told it to me, but I couldn't write it down.
Yeah.
Wait, just remind me?
Email me at ken@wfmu.org, Lisa.
Ken, K-E-N?
Yeah, ken@wfmu.org, and I'll mail that thing out to you.
Awesome.
So, Lisa, are you ready to play Shop Talk?
Sure.
All right. What industry do you work in, or what's this from?
It's medical. It's a medical terminology secret.
Oh, good, good. Medical terminology.
I love that. My daughter's a nurse. Maybe mm-hmm. I could call her. Okay, Lisa, are you a nurse?
I am not a nurse, or else I would not divulge the secret.
Okay, well,
you mean what you're about to tell us is an industry secret?
Yes.
I gotcha.
And very sensitive.
I'm keen to learn. I'm intrigued.
There's no breach of confidentiality.
Okay. Are you ready, Ken?
I'm ready. Hit us with it, Lisa.
House in Virginia.
A house in Virginia. Use that in a sentence.
That's the code.
Yeah. HIV positive.
Oh, my goodness. Who told you?
I'll take the point. It's a house in Virginia, HIV.
Okay. I will. Now it's my guess.
Okay. Go ahead.
Does that mean I don't win?
Well, hold on. Wait, I haven't made my guess yet.
It means I do win. You and I both win.
Unless I also get it, and then it's a tie.
But I already gave the answer.
House in Virginia refers to a woman's private parts.
No.
It's how you refer to a woman's private parts.
The former, not the latter.
That's not feminist Andy Breckman talking, obsessed with women's private parts.
Yeah, wait a minute.
I'm the kind of feminist man. I'm the kind of feminist man who's obsessed with women's private parts. That's a new age feminist man.
I see. Okay. All right, Lisa, send me that email, and I'll send you the thing.
Wait, now, how do they use that? Do you mean they use it when there are other people in the room?
Yeah.
And they say that patient has a house in Virginia?
Yeah, she's got a house in Virginia.
Yeah.
That way you don't have to say they're HIV positive.
Yeah.
Wow.
She has a house in Virginia, so don't take any blood transfusions from her. That's a typical sentence.
Jolie in Bloomfield, you're on the air.
Hi, fellas.
Hi.
Hi, Jolie. You love the show.
I do love the show.
Thanks, Jolie. That means the world to us, doesn't it, Ken?
It does. More to me than Andy.
You're the fish we wanted to catch.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Oh, there's more. I'm sorry.
I have a couple of ideas.
Oh, there's more.
You guys to figure out.
What industry do you work in?
I work in pharmaceutical advertising.
Pharmaceutical advertising.
Yes.
I'm ready to roll.
Okay, so when someone says, we can't put a logo on that reminder ad because it requires a black box warning.
We can't put a logo on that ad, on that reminder ad, because it requires a black box warning.
That seems pretty straightforward. What part of that should we not understand?
What is a black? What's a black box? Do you know what a black box warning is, Ken?
You know that there's side effects and consult with your doctor and blah blah blah. All that kind of stuff.
But I've seen those warnings, and they don't all have black. But they're not all in black boxes.
No, they don't all. Black box means you could die.
Ooh.
Black box is like what you put on cigarettes?
Well, that's a Surgeon General's warning. That's a little different.
Ah.
Like, what's an example of a black box warning?
Say, certain drugs that will cause you to, it'll say, warning, using this drug could cause you suicidal ideation.
Ah.
Something like that.
That's a very serious
warning. In rare cases, will cause, you know, this condition, which could lead to death.
Right. And is it literally a warning that's in a black box?
Absolutely is, yes.
You mean white letters on black?
Well, it's black letters with a big rim around it. And it says warning.
We both lose that one. The black box warning.
The black box warning.
Okay, Julie, you have another one?
No, I'm fresh out. Sorry.
Okay. Well, that was a good one. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
You know what? I've learned a lot so far.
Yeah, we're playing Shop Talk here. We're looking.
I've learned what house in Virginia means. Mm-hmm. I know what black box warning means.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't remember the technical IT stuff.
The 1D10T problem.
Oh, the 1D10T. That I remember because that's so funny.
Means you're a freaking moron.
Yeah, it means the other guy in the room is a freaking moron.
Right.
But he doesn't even know we're talking about him.
Right.
That's fantastic. I guess. The best slang is the slang like that, like House in Virginia and 1D10T.
Yeah.
Because you can discuss someone, you can discuss a third party in the room, and they don't even know you're talking about them.
Deborah in Montclair, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Deborah. Deborah. You love the show.
Oh, I adore the show.
Oh, thanks, Debbie.
Deborah.
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 Debbie.
No, she prefers Deborah.
Deborah or Deb.
Yeah, anything but Debbie. Am I right?
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
Yes.
Debbie, tell me about the one person in your life that called you Debbie. What harm did that person do to you?
A lot of people call me Debbie, but there just comes a time it doesn't work anymore.
Right. It's like for a little girl.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, Andy?
Well.
Aww, wait. Andy.
Wait, I have no problem with Andy. All right, I'm sorry. Deborah. Mm-hmm.
Thank God you're not an Andrew.
No. Yeah. I wouldn't be here if I was.
Did you ever try to be an Andrew, even briefly?
No.
Yeah. Huh, interesting.
Have you always been Little Ken?
Little Kenny. Little Kenny. Little Kenny Friedman.
Little Kenny Friedman.
Yep.
Look at him go. Look at him scamper across that field. Look at Little Kenny. Look at Little Kenny climb that tree.
So, Deborah, give
us... Look at Little Kenny run that radio station. Go, Little Kenny. Go, go, go.
Deborah, give us your shop talk.
Okay. T-sucker.
T-sucker?
T. Q-Y. Is one word, and then the next word is sucker, S-U-C-K-E-R.
Wait, T-Y?
No, Q-I.
Oh, Q-I. Key sucker.
And the second is sucker.
And what industry is this from?
I'm a holistic wellness educator.
A key sucker.
Of course you are.
It's
a key sucker.
Yeah, it's a key sucker, somebody who's like addicted to quinoa.
Oh, somebody, that's really cool. That's excellent, but that's incorrect.
Oh.
It's a key sucker. Well, listen, we should work on...
Somebody who sucks quinoa.
No.
Is it somebody who is a skeptic?
No, I could say that person is a real key sucker.
That person is a real key sucker. It's obviously derogatory. It's obviously negative.
I would say.
Now, use it in a sentence, but use the word can in the sentence.
Ken's a real key sucker.
I doubt if Ken is a cheese sucker.
I don't know about Ken. Sometimes I think he is. I know he doesn't act like a key sucker, but sometimes I suspect he secretly is.
No, I used to suck key. Not so much anymore.
Deborah, this is our way of giving up. What is a key sucker?
A cheese sucker is. Qi is energy in Chinese.
Qi,
it's spelled Qi, and sucker is sucker. So if I'm teaching Qigong,
oh, it's Qi,
energy, and Gong is work, or doing teaching meditation or working with someone one-on-one, and that person just drains me and wants everything from me that I can possibly give, and I'm left with no energy, I'd say, wow, that person is a real Qi sucker.
Oh, I thought, yeah, I thought you were saying Qi sucker.
But Qi sucker, would you have known?
Cheese sucker. Yeah, I would have known. I would have known.
I bet my wife is going to start using that phrase around our house.
Yeah,
and you know, a lot of people spell Qi, but the true basic version is Qi.
Oh, she did spell Qi.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But now,
Ken cannot be a cheese sucker.
I'm not a cheese sucker.
Suck the energy out of the room? No, you're not a cheese sucker, Ken. No, not at all. I told Ken he wasn't a cheese sucker. He bought it. Okay. Fantastic. Okay. Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you, Deborah.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Just nonsense words.
No.
They just speak nonsense.
No, it's not.
Sometimes it's fun to just make up syllables.
It's not nonsense.
Make up nonsense sounds.
We're playing Shop Talk here on 7 Second Delay. The phone number is 201-209-9368.
Give us a call, but don't be a cheese sucker.
No.
And
don't be a 1D10T problem.
Don't be a 1D10T problem. And we hope you never have a house in Virginia problem.
We welcome anybody with a house in Virginia.
We do. We welcome you.
We welcome you. Call us, 201-209-9368. Fork the repo. Fix the Vizwar.
Do you think someone that actually has a second house in Virginia has trouble getting dates online?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Someday I'd like to show you my house in Virginia.
Oh, no, thank you.
No, thank you. Wait, I don't know why no one's responding. I have all these pictures up of my house in Virginia.
That'd be funny to go onto Tinder and see if there's anybody who lists their house in Virginia.
With a real house in Virginia.
Oh, boy, we got another call.
Oh, boy, that is exciting.
Yeah.
This is going swimmingly. I really think Shop Talk could be a big hit.
Steve in Staten Island, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Hey, Steve, you love the show.
I love the show.
Hey, you can't believe you got through.
I know, it's amazing.
I know. Now, what industry are you a part of, Steve?
One of the terms we use around my job, I work with developmentally disabled.
Okay.
And so some of the staff, we like sort of question how, you know.
Well, wait. Don't tell us what it means. Use it in a sentence, and Ken and I will try to.
Okay. All right. Hey, you see John over there? The way he's been acting, he's a real 60-40.
He's a real 60-40.
Doesn't sound so bad, 60-40.
It could be worse. You're right, Ken. I think it could be worse.
Right, it could be 90-10. An 80-20.
Is it your version of cheese sucker? Is it someone that needs all the attention in the room?
No. It's not there's no sucking.
I don't know what 60-40 means. Do you have any guesses, Ken?
I don't know.
If it doesn't involve pharmaceuticals or drugs, Ken's at a loss. He's at a real disadvantage.
At work. That's for like the staff that we sort of question how level-headed they are in themselves. You know, maybe they're only 60% staff, 40%.
40% what?
Well, we work with developmentally disabled, so it's inferring that they're slow. You know.
But are you describing a staff member, or are you describing a client or a patient?
For staff. We don't ridicule the clients, just the staff.
Oh, I see. So this staff member isn't the sharpest pencil in the pencil box.
Yeah. He's 60% of the way there. Some days, he's only 40%. You know.
I see. He's between 60 and 40.
Got it. All right, Steve. That's a good one. Thanks for playing Shop Talk.
Nope.
So a lot of these are just ways to describe the third person in the room in negative terms.
Right.
Right? He's a 60-40. He's a cheese sucker.
Yeah.
Wait, there were some other ones.
He's got a 1D10T problem.
He's got a 1D10T problem.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, I know.
Vinny, you're on the air.
Okay. In the police industry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you a officer?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for your service.
De nada. I don't know how widespread it is, but among the people I worked with, the expression would be, he's a 5-0. I mean, we all know...
Well, we all know 5-0, of course.
Is, obviously referenced to the police.
Right.
Why is 5-0? But this guy's a 5-0.
And you'd be saying that about a civilian?
It'd be about somebody else that we have to deal with.
He's a 5-0.
Well, it can't be good.
No. It's got to be bad.
I'll give you a little hint. It's descriptive. It's not negative. It says descriptive.
It's descriptive. He's a 5-0.
I think it means he's got a 1D10T problem. I think it means he's stupid.
No.
But wait, no. How do you get from 5-0 to that?
I don't know.
I think you've got a 1D10T problem. Okay, hold on. I can do this. He's a 5-0. Describing a civilian, and it describes him. Five. What do you have 5 of? What might someone have 5 of that a cop would be
fingers.
Dealing with? Fingers. Oh, he's got 5 fingers, but no fingers on the other hand. Yes. He's got 5 fingers on one hand and a hook on the other hand.
Blood alcohol content.
Oh, blood alcohol content.
Oh, man. So he's really drunk.
Hugely drunk.
Because, like, what's the legal limit? 1.0 or
0.08
now.
So 5-0 is 5-0.
Like, you bring the guy in and you say to the other guy that you work with, oh, man, he's a 5-0.
Oh, man, yeah, he's got alcohol poisoning.
When you bring him to the hospital, and, he's a 5-0.
But, if he's really that drunk, you don't have to talk in code.
That's true.
If he's really 5-0, you could say, this man drank too much alcohol. And he won't.
That's not fun.
I know, it's not fun.
You'd rather call him a 5-0.
Yeah, he's a 5-0. I love it. Thanks, man. I bet cops have the best slang. I bet we just heard the most mild version of cop slang.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Gotta go.
Bye.
Thanks, Vinny. Bye-bye. We are playing Shop Talk. Give us a call at 201-209-9368.
I bet soldiers have great slang, too.
Ian in Baltimore. You're on the air.
Yo. Yeah, my slang term is a squash and stretch.
Hold on, squash and stretch. What is the industry?
Visual animation.
Like visual animation?
Like After Effects and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, as opposed to like actual stop motion animation.
Squash
Maybe
and stretch.
It was a bad choice of words.
Squash and stretch.
Squash.
Squash and stretch. Is that something
like,
you do
like
to
vegetable.
A like a vegetable? Is that something you do to a drawing, to a piece of art?
It involves drawing. Yeah.
To an animation.
Oh, I see. Is it something that you do? Is it something like sort of a Tex Avery sort of cartoon move when a character
You got it.
Right?
You got it.
Like if an anvil or a boulder.
When a character like gets really squashy and then.
Yeah. Like if a piano falls on a character, he doesn't die, Ken. He gets squished and then he stretches out.
Right. Like Wile E. Coyote runs off the cliff and he runs in place and then he gets all stretchy and falls down.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But they do it so much that it's like a trope that we have this slang. So
squash and stretch.
Squash and stretch.
I love it.
I do too.
Thanks, Ian.
Awesome.
Awesome.
We are playing Shop Talk here on 7 Second Delay.
We're having a great time, aren't we, Ken?
Yeah, we are. I just thought of one.
This is one of our best shows ever, wouldn't you say?
Nah, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's good. I thought of one that I can try out on you.
There's no pleasing him.
From skydiving. Something
from skydiving?
Yeah.
Do you know this from
From
experience?
Yeah, I did it a couple of times. And this was the phrase that stuck with me. Did you hear what happened last week? A guy bounced.
A guy bounced, and that's a skydiving phrase.
Yeah.
Well, it can't mean that literally hit the ground, because you wouldn't say it so cavalierly. A guy bounced. Okay, it must mean... Is this something that happens in midair during a fall?
No.
Is this something that happens on the airplane?
Nope.
Is this something that happens before you take off?
Nope.
Is this something that happens when you hit the ground?
Yeah. You bounce if your chute doesn't open.
What?
That's what they call it. Somebody who dies because their chute doesn't open, they call it bouncing.
Well, that was my first thought, but I know. Can't. It can't. But it just sounds so lightweight. It just sounds so frivolous.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Do you really bounce?
Yes, apparently you do. That's where the word came from.
I don't think you do.
Not a whole... I mean, it depends on what you hit.
I think the squash and stretch thing is more accurate.
Well, I mean, it depends what you land on. If you land in mud, you don't bounce.
I would aim for the mud.
It doesn't matter... If people have survived, actually, when
yeah, for a second,
yeah, no, people actually have survived. If you hit mud or something like that,
yeah, aim for mud.
Yeah.
Oh, good tip, Ken.
Yeah.
If you look like it might be bouncing,
I mean, they don't survive well.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they go on to have a normal life after that. But there have been people who hit the ground without their chute opening and they did not die. It has happened. That's my point. And no, not everybody bounces, but then...
You know what one of my favorite sayings is?
What?
You don't need a parachute to jump out of an airplane. You need a parachute to jump out of an airplane twice. Write that down, Ken.
I will. That's like,
a little life lesson.
That's like the running away from a bear or swimming away from a shark maxim.
Yeah.
We're playing Shop Talk here. Phone number is 201-209-9368.
You don't have to be faster than the bear. You just have to be faster than your daughter. Right?
You would never do that. You would never let the bear take your daughter.
Yeah, right.
Did you let the bear take your daughter?
No, I never would.
Yeah. What's your take on the gorilla in the Cincinnati Zoo?
I'll tell you what I think about that, and I have very strong feelings about that.
Okay.
What are the cool kids saying?
The cool kids are saying they shouldn't have shot.
They should not have shot the
bear.
The bear, and I'll tell you why.
It wasn't a bear.
It wasn't a bear.
It was a gorilla.
Yeah, the gorilla. Why? Gorilla meant no harm.
Exactly.
The gorilla didn't pound its chest.
Right, didn't pound
its chest. Yeah, you wait for the gorilla to pound its chest.
It was taking care of the little
exactly.
boy.
Hey, listen, though, can I say something seriously? Yeah. We joke around a lot, but sometimes I want to, share a little straight talk with you. If I ever fall into a gorilla cage, don't wait for the pounding of the chest. Shoot the damn gorilla.
Shoot the gorilla. Okay.
No matter what I'm saying now, don't go back. Don't replay this tape. Don't consult it. Shoot the gorilla.
See, here's the thing. I think that if you fell into the gorilla cage, I don't think the gorilla would be taking care of you. Like the gorilla was taking care of that little boy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Poor gorilla.
His little boy was cute.
Yeah, poor gorilla.
But you falling into the gorilla cage. Oh, boy, that'd be a different
I want to be invited to the cool kids' table so I could be in on it when they come up with either with their opinions.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Hey, this has been a great show.
Yeah.
And we'll be back tomorrow night. Next week,
Nick,
right?
Nick the Bard's giving us one. Says, what do you think this means? Nail jelly to the hothouse wall.
Nail
just
jelly.
Like something that you say in the office, any kind of office.
And that's from Nick the Bard?
Yeah.
That's when the boss leaves for the day and you take a crap in the corner.
No. Here, I'll use it in a sentence oh, give me a break. I can't nail jelly to the hothouse wall.
I think that means I'm constipated. I can't take a crap in the corner.
No, it means to achieve the impossible. I can't nail jelly to the hothouse wall. I can't do the impossible. I'm not a miracle worker.
That's a good one. Thank you, Nick.
Yeah. Pamela in San Francisco, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi Pamela.
You love the show.
I love the show, and I can believe I got through.
Yeah, I can too. I can too.
I have rock climbing.
You're okay. You're rock climbing. You're a rock climbing enthusiast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So if somebody got sandbagged.
If somebody got sandbagged.
Yeah. Huh.
See, sandbagging usually means undermined. Sabotage.
Does that mean something falls on you?
No.
Is this free climbing, like rock scrambling? Is it canyoneering?
No, you can say that the climb was a real sandbag.
Okay, the climb.
Does that mean that you couldn't get purchase on the rock? It was too loose.
No.
I think yes.
When am I supposed to tell you what?
I'm right.
No, hang on.
I'm pretty sure I'm right.
That climb was a real sandbag.
No.
Uh-uh. Oh,
it's so, not. The climber got sandbagged or the climb was a sandbag.
Oh, the climber got sandbagged or the climb was a sandbag.
Okay. Does that mean it was tougher than it had been described?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You were told it was like a level.
Tougher than it was rated. So
right.
It was rated, for example. 5.8, but like a 5.7.
I'll explain to Kent. Let's say a rock face was rated, let's say 5.8.
Yeah.
And you get there and you're climbing it and
there's an echo. Why is my voice?
And it's a 6.2.
It's like over a 6. It's like north of a 6.
Yeah.
You might say the climber got sandbagged.
No,
he was fooled.
No, the climb was a sandbag.
Or the climb was either one is acceptable.
Either
one.
It can be an adjective or a I guess it could be a noun too. Adjective, noun, verb. Whatever you want.
Well, here's hoping that you're never sandbagged on any future climb.
Too late.
That's a good one.
Oh,
Pamela.
You've been sandbagged?
Oh, hell yeah.
That must be the worst feeling because you're halfway up and you realize, wait a minute, this is not a 5.8. This is no 5.8.
It's really embarrassing. If, yeah.
Exactly.
So that's people who can't do a climb generally say it's a sandbag.
Now, do you think our listeners feel that way when we say we have a really entertaining show for you at the top of the hour?
When do we ever say that?
We sometimes say that. We have a great idea. This show's going to be great. And then time goes by. Minutes crawl by like hours.
I don't think I've said
We've
that.
We've got nothing fresh or original to offer.
I don't think I've said that in 10 years.
This show's a real sandbag.
15 years. Okay. Thanks, Pamela.
Thanks, Pamela.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Just a couple of minutes left here on Shop Talk on 7 Second Delay. We're looking for
this has been great. Yeah, this is the best show we've ever done.
Well, it's a good
one. We've never topped this one.
I think we've topped it. Andy the Painter, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, Ken.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, Andy. Is this a painting a slang?
It would be. I have another one, but it was deemed not radio friendly by the screener. But one is when you have a bunch of different paint. Same color but different batches the store, or you're making up like 10 gallons of paint in 3 different buckets because that's the bucket you have. combine it all to make sure it's homogenous, you're boxing it. So, you know, you can say, box those. But it's an old-time term, and when I tell younger painters, you know, box that, they don't know what the hell I'm talking about. So.
And when we say box it, you mean mixing different?
No, mix similar things, things that might be the same, but you got to make sure it's consistent, right?
Right.
So intermix it, and make it all one batch.
Got it. Box it.
Let's say you have three colors that are very close to each other,
mm-hmm.
exactly. but they're not exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You take a fourth bucket, or, right?
Yeah.
You pour
exactly.
them all together.
Ideally.
That's
ideally,
what. Right.
If you have like 3 gallons that are slightly different, and you have a 5 gallon bucket,
yeah.
Throw them all in there. You're good. But sometimes you have no extra buckets, so you have to pour and keep on pouring back and forth. And
right. Let's say you only have three buckets, and you don't have that fourth empty bucket can.
Yeah.
Then you have to box it, but right. then that would be internally boxing it, just pouring it back and forth onto itself.
And I'll ask both of you, this will be Andy versus Andy, what is hot boxing it?
Oh.
Good question.
Well, I know that one. That's part of the joke.
But wait, am I right? Was I right that it was a good question?
Yes.
Do I get a point for that?
No. You don't know hot boxing?
I knew it was a good question. That's something.
Okay, Andy the painter, what's hot boxing? Tell
me. Well, I know too. There's... you know, one, the drug usage, and then the other, the flatulence usage.
Ah, well, Andy knows the flatulence usage, of course.
Hot boxing is a flatulent?
No, I never heard it applied to farting.
Usually
means just like smoking pot in a very small enclosed area. Like
ideally a car.
A car or a closet, and like keeping all the windows shut so that it gets all filled with smoke.
Yeah.
So any third party would be, any second party, even someone was indulging, would get the ultimate contact high anyway.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no smoke is going to waste. Thank you, Andy the painter.
Yeah. So no smoke, as Ken would put it, no smoke goes to waste. No puff left behind.
Right.
No toke left behind.
Scott in Alameda, you're on the air.
Bummer.
Bummer, yeah. Sorry to tell you that you're on the...
No, okay. It's for T-shirt printing.
Okay.
And it's a West Coast... It might be just a West Coast term. I'm not sure.
Oh, so like silk screening, and it's called a bummer?
Yeah, bummer.
Use it in a sentence.
We had 3 bummers last night. We had 3 bummers this morning.
Well, it's obviously a silk screen that there was some sort of imperfection.
An imperfection in the silk screen? No, it'd be in the print.
Yeah, obviously there's a problem with the print. It's a misprint.
So you'd have a bummer box. You could have a bummer box, and that's where all your bummers went, and you'd use them for, use them for different stuff.
I take the bummers.
Yeah.
I like the bummers myself.
Yeah, bummers are great.
Yeah.
Where, like, bummer.
And then what do you call the test prints? Those are the ones I really like, where they're printing it all over the shirt.
That's just a registration or whatever. And then there's the pelons. You have pelons. How about this spread and choke?
Spread and choke. Don't know. What is it?
It's if you want like type to be fatter or thinner, or a line to be fatter or thinner, you take it and burn it a little bit more. So.
Uh-huh.
Ken, is there a word in radio for someone for a call that comes in and you just can't concentrate on the call, you can't focus on it?
No, there's
no way that you can't. Even if you really concentrate,
it's called a bummer.
Are you calling Scott a bummer?
I'm just wondering if there's a phrase, a term for that kind of phone call. That's all.
Yeah. It's an out of registration.
Where even if you try, even if you really, really focus, even if you use all your willpower, you can't make yourself interested in the call. Is there a phrase for that?
No.
Huh.
Because that's on your end.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. I could think of more radio terms probably if you want, but we have plenty of calls here. It's Sarah in Manhattan. You're on the air.
You love the show.
Hello?
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, you can't believe you got through.
No, my name's Cheryl.
Hey, Cheryl.
How you doing? I have a number of terms. They're definitions for things that I use in my business.
From what industry is that, Cheryl?
my business
yes.
is photography.
These are photography terms, Ken. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Ken?
I'm ready.
Like, okay. Should we go one at a time?
Or go one at a time.
Well, just give us one because we're almost out of time here.
Okay, a snoot.
A snoot.
In yes. photography, a snoot?
Yes.
Is it an imperfection in the print?
No. Think about studio. Things in a studio.
Things in a studio.
Yeah.
I have to give up. How about you, Kenny?
Is it a blob of dirt on a lens, on the printer lens?
No, I'll give you another one. Stinger.
A stinger is even worse than a snoot.
How about sticks? Come on, that's easy.
Sticks?
Yeah.
A sticks. Well, a sticks must be, what do you call it, when you, a tripod.
You put a
tripod for a camera.
Oh, yeah. Tripod,
correct.
Of course.
Okay.
How about a butt plug?
A butt plug, yeah.
That's a lens cap.
Not even close.
Oh, is it? Oh, you know oh no! It's the thing you stick up in your anus.
In a photographer's anus.
In a photographer's anus.
During a shoot, during a particularly tense or stressful shoot.
That is true. It has other meanings, but you know what an apple box is?
Tell us about the butt plug.
Do you want to hear something? An apple box is also something you stick up a photographer's anus. During a particularly stressful shoot.
Has terms within a term. You could use it in a New York way, a Chicago way, or an LA way.
Quick, give it to us. We're almost out of time.
An apple box is a wood box that you stand on to get higher.
Ah,
A butt plug is a piece of a grip equipment that you put on a C-stand to mount a light on.
Uh-huh.
Sticks you got. A stinger is an extension cord, and a snoot is like a cone that you put on the end of a light to make your light source more pointy.
Cool. Thank you, Cheryl.
A stinger's an extension cord. Well, that's one we can all use.
Yeah, I'm going to become a photographer so I can play with snoots and butt plugs.
Ken, this has been, I think, the best show we've ever done. We've been doing this 24, 25 years.
Nick in Montclair, you're on the air.
This has been great.
The last
show. Hi, Ken and
Andy. Nick, it's been a perfect show. Don't screw this up.
I'll try not to.
Okay.
This is from the financial industry.
Okay.
Spread product.
What? Bread product?
Spread product.
Oh, spread product.
Spread product.
It's a financial thing where you're making money from the spread.
No, I think it's where you move a client's money around into multiple.
No. It's where there's, say you've got a treasury bond yielding 2%.
Yeah.
And there's a corporate bond.
Yeah.
The spread is, like the corporate bond may yield 2.3 or 2.5%. That's the spread. That's the more you have to pay for the extra risk.
That's a spread product.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Okay. When spreads widen, the prices of bonds go down generally. And
this guy knows his stuff.
They go up. So you buy when they're wide.
This guy, unfortunately, knows his stuff.
All right. Thanks, Nick. We are out of time.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for sharing that.
Thanks, Veronica. Thanks, Nick the Bard. Thank you, Amy Vogel.
And how about, is there someone else you want to thank?
Thank you.
That drove in all the way from his hometown, all the way from Madison.
Yeah, thanks to the other guy.
No, that's me.
Oh,
Anyone else you want to thank?
Andy Breckman. This is WFMU East Orange.
And thanks to my co-host, Mr. Chai Sucker.
G-Sucker.
Key-Sucker. Ken Friedman.
Stay tuned for Do It For Me with Sue.
Don't lie about it. Do it. Write about it. Hummus in my teeth all day long. All day long. Technocrat Leech in the house. My name is Sue Braun. And what does fortuitous mean, Leech? Any idea?
Of fortune, like
a
fortunate.
Fortunate. If you didn't get the news last week, I know you were here, Leech, but maybe you forgot. We have been fortuitous in being added to the WFMU summer schedule for another round of this thing.
Is it luck, though? Is it luck, or is it pure class?
I think it's
world class radio.
I think so. Do it for me, DIFM with Sue Braun, providing world class radio. Whatever that means nowadays, which is nothing. It's terrible. You know what? There are very untalented people doing a lot of things that get a lot of attention. Let's face it, there are terrible books being written and terrible, awful, awful movies that are being kickstarted, bad ideas. The art world, don't get me started. Just abominable, abominable. Just a lot of really appalling stuff out there. And so why should I be left out of the fray? Don't kick me to the curb because of you have the advantage of age and ambition over me. You may be young and ambitious, but guess what? Counterpoint, I'm old and unambitious. So I get to take up just as much space as anybody else.
And you're not going anywhere.
That's right.
Just get used to you.
I'm beginning to get very accustomed to me. That's right. DIFM, this is a call-in program. Why must I repeat that every week? It never gets any play. 201-536-9368. This is the upstairs phone number, not the number you were calling in on that other popular program that took place for the last hour. 201-536-9368. 536-9368. Technocrat Leech is in the house. Nick the Bard's in the house, hopefully eating the burritos I gave him. No thanks for that ever. Just never. I don't know. It's part of an unwritten contract, I suppose. But if it keeps Nick motivated and energized to do the call screening for this program, well, that burrito was worth every $2.94 for a bag of 10 that I paid for it at Walmart. Absolutely. I know how to treat people. I know there's a few people that would say, you know, she doesn't treat people very well. I don't cotton to that. Lee, what does cotton mean in the context of relationships or thought? Cotton? Anything?
Nothing. I got nothing.
Nothing. Cotton. I don't cotton. I'm sure it's like a super racist word. You know, like the origins are racist. Whenever I think of cotton, I think of slavery and this country's horrifying history of racism.
I actually think about the touch and the feel.
I think about Colby Calais singing The Touch and the Feel of Cotton.
The fabric of a
Aaron Neville, by the way, who you were just doing there, is he's on tour still.
Did you do that song? He saves that for the encore. That's the second encore, and he makes them really clap until he does it. Like, they got to clap for 5 minutes, and maybe he'll do it.
Tell it like it is. Aaron Neville, one of the great artists still living to this day, because everyone's dead in 2016, don't you know? It's the new trend. Oh, boy. Yeah, 201-536-9368. Sue Braun, do it for me. Leech and Nick here until the hour of 8 o'clock. That's a very limited time span to cover all the topics that you could possibly come up and do for us. This is a free-floating concept show. much like that abandoned Liberian ship that washed up on the coast of Africa recently. It's always a Liberian ship. I don't know why. You never hear of Liberia until they have a disaster. And I don't know that people go to Liberia and lay on the sunny beach there.
It's not a very fortuitous place. It is.